May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dorcas? She might be, I think Dorcas might actually be ahead of the game because I did forget to bring my sermon with me this evening. But it doesn't mean I don't have anything to say. But hopefully we can keep this good and simple, nice little reflection. Looking at the Gospel of Luke this evening and thinking of a conversation that the Christian philosopher Soren Kierkegaard had with with someone who once was commenting on the fact that if we live according to the gospel, it would be impossible to function in this world. To which he replied, "Exactly." And I think we get a little bit of a taste of that as we look at Jesus' teaching here in our gospel from Luke this evening. We see Jesus kind of doing the same sort of thing that Matthew does in chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon of the Mount, and having these blessed things. Blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are hungry, blessed are those who are weeping, blessed are those who are being persecuted for the sake of following Christ. And I think that is, there is a lot of similarity between that and the Beatitudes. And of course, the Beatitudes have long, and the whole Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, which is this parallels to some extent, captures that a similar kind of thing as what we have with Moses. Jesus is sitting on the mountain offering a new law, a fulfilled law, a law that goes over and above what the expectations were of the day. And then when we get to Luke, we see the same sort of thing happening. We see we see Jesus offering blessing for those who are basically the outcasts of society, but at the same time, woes upon those who are pretty well off. It's reminiscent of the Magnificat later, which earlier in Luke he records, where Mary is singing, saying, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And she goes through this whole list of things. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich empty away. And when we think of these kinds of contrasts, we begin to realize that Jesus is not necessarily giving us an easy prescription for how to live in this world, just as the person who talked to Kierkegaard had noticed. And indeed, we cannot live the gospel without the help of the only one who was able to live the gospel, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we look at these tremendous, the weight of what Jesus is saying, what it means to be a truly poor person, a truly hungry person, a truly fraught person with the weight of the world, a person who is truly persecuted. Not that we think people are persecuting us, but who are truly being rejected because you're trying to live the way that Christ teaches. Then you begin to realize that I can't do this on my own. Which is why I think Luke gives us this picture of Jesus' teaching hot on the heels of earlier. He talks about how people were flocking to him from all over the place, and that they were being healed, that evil spirits were being cast from them, and that they were receiving all sorts of blessing. They were looking for power. The power came out from him, from Christ, and healed all of them. Then they were trying to touch him. And I think that should be our attitude. Instead of saying, Lord, I can't do this. I can't live this gospel lifestyle that you have called me to on my own. Instead of saying, oh, well, just give it up. Can't do it in my own strength, therefore I can't do it. That's exactly what the gospel is. The gospel reminds us that, of course, you can't do it in your own strength. You need strength which comes from heaven. You need God himself dwelling in you by the Holy Spirit, strengthening you through the power of the risen Christ and filled with the love of the Father to make it possible for us to be able to fulfill the commission, that the high calling to which Jesus has given to us. And so we need to rely on Christ's own power. We need to reach out and touch Christ. And we do that when we come here to pray. We do that when we open up Scripture. We do that when we are nourished with the spiritual food and drink of Holy Communion. We do that when we reach out to others with the love of Jesus Christ. And so I hope that this evening, as you look at this gospel lesson for tonight, that you would be encouraged to know that as difficult as it is to live up to the commission that Christ has placed upon you, that you're not doing it alone, but that Christ has given you everything that you need through his own presence by his Spirit to make it possible for you to walk in faithfulness in following him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that though the way may be difficult, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, because we do not carry it alone. We carry it because we are yoked to you, and you are there with us every step of the way. Help us as we go forth from this place, and remind us that you are with us every step of the way, and that we can depend upon you to walk in the gospel lifestyle to which you have called us. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.